and knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my good friend Murray Lightburn of the Deers. Murray was here last week. He returns to the Regal Beagle Podcast again, a huge Three's Company fan. Thank you, Murray, for coming back and joining us for another episode of the Regal Beagle Podcast.
Oh, I love it. I love it. This is great.
Season.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Season 5, Episode 16, Teacher's Pet.
Oh, my God.
It aired March 3rd, 1981, directed by Dave Powers, written by Mark Tuttle and Don Nickel. Jack teaches a cooking class, but gives preferential treatment to Dean Travers's niece, Betty Jean. Murray, what did you think of Teacher's Pet?
Where do I begin with this one?
Yeah.
First of all, we were talking about sexual harassment, which is like, this episode is just so messed up.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally.
I mean, it's so messed up. But like in a weird way, you know, like Jack is the victim, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And which is, I don't think it's the first time this kind of thing has happened to Jack. Like,
no.
He's always getting himself into these situations with like super forward, you know, women that are demanding stuff of him that is questionable, even though he's such a dog, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and because of the attachment of, you know, this cooking school. Okay, so Dean Travers, oh my God, okay, sorry. I'm just spiraling here because there's just, it just splits. There's so much going on in this episode. You know, the relationship with Janet, being in the class, and, of course, there was all the typical things that Jack does, which is like when he observes, when he goes into the cooking class and he's trying to teach and he's like observing Dean Travers. Was it his niece?
His niece, Betty Jean.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God, these names. And he's observing her. And, you know, tripping up his words and observing, you know, blonde hair and this, like, sweater. Just, like, because she's, like, unfurling herself before him and just, like, kind of, like, you know, he's observing this girl in the class. He's objectifying her, basically. So he clearly is turned on by her, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Jack is turned on by a tree, you know, like he's like he's constantly turned on. I guess like it's interesting how the, again, like we were discussing, you know, when a girl comes on to Jack, he can't handle it, you know.
Yeah.
And he gets all flustered and weird. I mean, obviously the circumstances of, you know, strings attached, you know, like her basically offering herself in exchange for an A in the cooking class, which also, okay, let's put that down for a second. So you're in this bullshit cooking class. Like, and you need to get an A in this cooking class. Like, you need it so bad that you're willing to offer yourself. Like, it's not like it's like, you know, you know, you need to pass the bar exam to become a lawyer, or you know, to get a, like, it's
just a night course cooking class.
Night course cooking class. Like, first of all, okay, you can get this A, but once you get this A that you faked, you still have to ultimately, like, prove that you can cook. Like
I know.
You know, it's so absurd. There's your gigantic hole in this plot.
Yeah.
Is that
that was the real flimsy thing. I mean, I don't know who, what does she have to cook for her uncle then? Like, she has to prove at home that she can cook from.
We don't have to know that, man.
It doesn't make sense.
Not important. What's important is that she's coming on to him and Jack's getting flustered and we're laughing.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, they get caught and it looks like Jack is coming on to her and, like, oh my God. I mean, it's just, the other thing is that's also funny is, like, the mini sort of stings that they set up.
Oh, I love it.
They've done that before, you know, like kind of, you know, setting up these, like, little stings to entrap the person that they're trying to prove is the one that's the perpetrator rather than, you know what I mean, of something. They've done this before. I can't recall all the episodes where they've done that before, but I've seen that. I mean, it's also like a sitcom shtick too.
Yeah.
You see it in other sitcoms.
But I like how the sting didn't work. In this episode, it failed.
Yeah, well, because classic. Oh my God, I laughed so hard when Jack opens the door to the office and he walks out and he does that thing where it's like, and he's not there. It was so classic, John Ritter. I mean,
it's so great.
I mean, Jack was amazing in this episode. John Ritter is incredible in this episode. It's not the greatest episode,
no,
but. But Jack is really, 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 really on his A game. Like, in terms of executing all his classic jokes. Like, when they're at the table, when they're at the in the kitchen, in the cooking school, and Janet is on one side, and what's her name? Betty Jean.
Betty Jean, yeah.
Betty Jean, give me a break. And Betty Jean is on the other side of him, and she's totally screwing up. And Janet is also screwing up, and the totally different treatment of each side.
I love it.
I mean, it's the gift that keeps on giving. That whole little scene is just like, oh my God, this is some serious classic Jack here going on, where he's ogling the girl and, like, really trying to, like, get in with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just so interesting how quickly, like, that emotion or that feeling towards her changes when she flips the table on him and starts, like, demanding something from him in exchange for giving him what he wanted previously.
I know.
It's so weird.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's not consistent.
He just wanted to bang her.
Yeah.
He just wanted to get with her, like, just before. And now he's like, whoa, I don't want to get with you if, you know, under these conditions. It's like, it's not like she revealed, like, that she has genital warts or something. It's like, what happened? Like, it's not like all of a sudden you found out she's your sister. Like, like, what happened? You just, like, it's super weird how, like, when push comes to shove, how moral Jack is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when he gets pushed, then he becomes very moral. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But, like, just before that, he's a lecherous, you know, pig, basically.
Yeah.
He's just an oversexed, nonstop, you know, oversexed, lecherous pig, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, actually, it's very complex, and it's hard to reconcile, I have to say.
Yeah. It is weird, but there were a few moments in the episode which were that kind of stood out. I did like, you know, I don't know what your overall view of Cindy is, because I didn't think she was a very strong character throughout the series. But there was a moment in this episode where she was really, really good at handling John Ritter and Joyce DeWitt, where she was in the middle and they were fighting and they were passing their messages to the other person.
Oh, that was really good.
And she did a really great job at being the funniest in that scene, which I thought was pretty, a little outstanding for what I'm used to with Cindy. And that was something I noted.
I totally hear what you're saying there, because Cindy was never my favorite character. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's like, it's weird. It's almost like, you know, the equivalent of being like some kind of like clutch hitter, you know, that doesn't.
Yeah.
That's not like a starting player, but when, you know, every once in a while they like knock one out, you know? And that's how I see her on that show.
Yeah.
But that scene is spectacular. Like just, and the timing of it and the way it's executed, it's perfect. Perfect television. And you don't see that a lot.
No, that's why it stood out to me as well. You don't see it as much anymore in any kind of comedy thing.
Yeah.
Just the way, you know, sitcoms or comedy shows these days have gone, it's not like this anymore.
No, I mean, everybody's, it's very old school comedy, you know, it's very, very, very old school, like television comedy, you know?
Yeah.
Like now everything is trying to be cool and ironic and say cool things and whatever. Whereas this is like a very old school kind of comedy with that timing, and it's very technical, and they nail it. They absolutely nail it, and it feels natural. It doesn't feel, over rehearsed, you know, like it's interesting.
Yeah, that one is that part especially. The one thing that stood out to me was so this is season 5 of Three's Company. So in the world of Three's Company, they've known each other for 5 years now.
Wow.
And Janet still doesn't believe that when Jack said that, you know, he wasn't coming on to her, she still doesn't believe Jack. Like she doesn't believe him. It takes Larry to 5 years. She just doesn't trust him. She doesn't believe him. So when this girl accuses Jack of whatever she accuses him of, Janet sides with the girl. Maybe it's because Jack pissed her off the way he treated Janet in the class.
Well, that's definitely a filter for there. That's definitely that's definitely how I would imagine. Yeah, that I think if Janet had more time to think about it, she would ultimately side with Jack and it would make more sense. But you are right. It's weird that this is a person she's been living with for 5 years. Living with.
Like
they're practically family at this point. And how she, you know, is ready to throw him under the bus like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
It's so weird. It just doesn't make any sense. But
it does in the world of Three's Company.
Yeah, in the world,
because without it, they're just vehicles, right? You know, they're just getting us from point A to B, and it's like sometimes these points are not very far; they're just like a block away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like a situation like that where Janet forgets the 5 years that she's been living with Jack and all his, you know, his moralness that she's been a part of and that we've all observed, as I've just mentioned, you know, like Jack's moralness, like she just completely forgets that, you know, and is pissed at him, you know, and it's just kind of an interesting, But that, like that, that's just a vehicle in the writing and on the show to get us, you know, through another 5 minutes, you know?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Because without it, what do you have? Like, there's like, it's create, it's like kind of like creating more conflict, you know, and yeah, adding to the tension of the conflict.
Yeah.
So it's obviously like a writing vehicle. It's like, well, now Jan is mad, and you know, and it also, you know, Jack treating her the way she does, the way he does in the cooking class, is part of the comedy too.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So we need this little subplot.
And this is the final appearance of Dean Travers, his fifth and final appearance. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's it for him?
That's it. He did it 5 times. He made such an impression, but that's it.
It's interesting because I seem to recall it. Dean Travers was more. I'm not getting mixed up with Mr. Angelino. He's like, you know. But Angelina doesn't come in until later, right?
Well, actually, Angelino's already been introduced in this season. In a few episodes earlier.
Oh, right.
He actually is. So Jack's out in the workforce now, and he's just coming back to the cooking school.
Yes,
so, yeah.
Right. That makes sense. Okay, yeah. So he works at Angelino's.
Yeah.
So Felipe is in at this point?
Well, there's only been one episode so far, and Felipe and Angelino have been introduced.
Okay, good.
But
good,
he's been fired. Jack was fired, so...
Right.
So, but they'll come back. They'll hire him back.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're at season 5, and there's still like 3 or 4 more seasons to go.
Yeah, 8 seasons. So, there's 3 more seasons with Terry. So there's a lot more to go.
There's a lot more to go.
You're coming back. I mean, have to.
I must. We have to talk about, Terry and that dynamic.
Yeah.
But getting back to this episode. So Betty Jean.
Yes. Played by Dorian LaPinto.
Right. Now, what a weird character. Like, what is the deal with Betty Jean? Like, how old is this person? You know what I mean? Like, what is this person doing with their life that they need to fake their way through? But it's such a, and like, is she like a spoiled brat? And she's also like his niece. Like, it's not like Dean Travers' daughter.
Yeah. It's obvious that she plays innocent around Dean Travers because she knows Larry and she drives a car and she's independent to a certain degree, but still she needs to get an A.
She's like a spoiled brat, like a spoiled rich kid or something.
Probably.
In some way. At least that's what we're, you know, from her behavior and all her motivation on the show. And just like what her actions on the show just kind of display this spoiled brat, you know, and Dean Travers has a certain view of her and is protective of her. You know, I have a bunch of nieces myself, and I guess I would be pretty protective over them and have a view of an innocent view of them, you know, maybe. I mean, this is an extreme example of that. This show, like extreme. Like just like how she's trying to dupe her uncle, you know?
Yeah.
Into believing that she's like this innocent little lamb. And I mean, it's such a weird character, and I think we've seen this character on the show
also many times.
Yes, and it's also a classic sitcom vehicle too.
Yeah.
But like on this show, I know we've seen this type of character before, like this totally duplicitous type that. But what I can't figure out is, you know, what does she want? Like, what is she doing with her life that she, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out. It's just like, why do you, you know, like you could be doing any, you could be taking an art class, you know, for, and, you know, banging the art teacher for an A, you know, like, I don't know. Like, it just seems really weird. Like, how does like this A in this cooking class fit into her overall game plan? Like, we never, do we ever find out like why she needs an A in the class? Like,
no, not in the episode. No, it's just,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. You suspect
giant gaping hole. Like, like, why does she need an A so bad? Like, we never know why. It's like, I need this A to get credit, or I need this A, or else I won't get my, you know, inheritance, or, you know, like, or, you know what I mean? Like,
no. I just need the A.
I just need this A, and I'm willing to do anything to get this A. You know,
maybe,
it's like, it's super weird, man.
Maybe to get her uncle off her back or something, maybe.
But we don't know.
Yeah.
Listen to us. Listen to us. We're pathetic. We're just discussing. Maybe it's for this. Maybe it's for, you know, a show from like 30 years ago or whatever. Oh my God!
She's.
I'm going deep again.
Oh no! I love it. I love it. I don't think anybody's ever gone this deep on this episode before, or on Betty Jean Travers, or as BJ, as Larry knows her, which was an interesting.
Of course, she's called BJ.
Yeah. But I don't even think it dawned on the writers that BJ is, you know, there's a sexual connotation to that. I think those times were so innocent.
But maybe, I don't know. You know what I mean? Who knows?
Like, who knows,
but it's just like, I mean, we're observing it. There's no way that there was a writer on that show that wasn't thinking wink wink, you know,
like, well, maybe. I mean, the show is chock full with sexual innuendo. Stuff. Yeah.
So, I mean, that character is super weird, and I love how like Larry's barely on the show, but then it's like he ties it all up in a bow at the end.
Yeah,
you know? It's like, oh yeah, you know, how about that kind of. And then he's the one that cracks her in front of Dean Travers.
In less than a minute.
In no time. Just wraps the whole episode up like that. Okay, we're out of time. Larry, come on in, buddy. You can do this. How are we going to end this show? I could just imagine, like, we didn't say anything about why she needs the A. I don't know. What do we do?
But she
Bring
does.
Larry in.
She does reveal like Larry wasn't that great of a lover, and that kind of embarrasses Larry. You know how
yes.
he walks off set at the end of the episode, which is a little revealing to Larry. Like Larry's always seen as this guy who's scoring with women, but we never see the end result of like what the women actually thought of him. And here we do. So that
was also interesting. Going. We discussed earlier on last week's about Furley. You know, Larry is a strain of Furley, you know, he's a pathetic character too.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, the cracks reveal how pathetic he is.
yeah.
And that he has, again, this macho, you know, like facade. But he's probably, you know, cries himself to sleep at night.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah,
you know,
he's
a lonely guy.
Yeah.
And he's not a good lover, clearly.
Yeah.
You know, he can't keep these girls that he's dating all the time because, you know, they come away disappointed. He's not able to, you know, as much as he's like this ladies' man, he's not good at it.
Yeah.
And maybe. At least that's what they're... They're always chopping these dudes down, you know, like for us. They're always chopping these dudes down, showing us their weaknesses, which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, Murray, thank you for coming down and knocking on our door for another week. And the invite is open. The door will always be unlocked. Please come in.
Absolutely.
Please come in.
Absolutely.
And thank you very much.
I enjoy this so much. I enjoy watching the episodes again and going back into those days. Because the other thing is like Three's Company and watching Three's Company, it transports me, you know, to another time in my life too, right? Because I think we discussed this before, but like, it used to come on every day, and after school you come home, you watch a bunch of shows, and then Three's Company would come on.
Yeah.
At around like 5 or 5:30, and sometimes they'd play 2 episodes in a row, and so it transports me back to that time of my life. Is that Ralph the dog?
Yeah, that's Ralph.
I gotta meet this dog.
I hear what you're saying. That's why I love it so much too.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. All right, man. Well, I enjoyed this very much, and I look forward to coming back and discussing more Three's Company with you anytime.